Thank you for listening to Christian Challenge at K-State's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, follow us on Instagram or visit our website. Hope you enjoy this episode.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And welcome to Christmas Challenge. Hope you guys are having a great time. If this is your first time coming to Challenge, I just want to say I am so glad that you decided to come tonight. I think Christmas Challenge is a ton of fun. It's so fun to sing these songs together. It's an incredible just time of year in general for so many reasons. I can just think back to Christmas growing up with my family. I remember making gingerbread houses and going to Christmas Eve services. I mean, there's so many memories that are packed into this time of year. And the past several years, my family and I, we've gotten more invested in Christmas. We've kind of gone more all out each year. And this year we made the shift. We decided to get a real Christmas tree. And here's a picture of our crew. We got our tree loaded up on our van. We brought it home. We dressed it all up. It's amazing. Our house smells wonderful. It's so great. Who here does real Christmas trees? Anybody do those growing up? Okay, the rest of you should totally do it. I'm only like 4 days in, but it's awesome. I love it. So highly recommend real Christmas trees. It's a ton of fun. My kids are really getting into it. Christmas is just such a joyful time of year for so many reasons and for so much. There's just a lot that comes with this time of year, but I also just want to recognize that in a lot of ways, Christmas can also bring some baggage with it. It can bring some complexity with it. Sometimes Christmas can be a really hard time of year for some of us. You know, I think that sometimes we'll have hard memories surrounding Christmas, and that can be difficult, or sometimes loss and unmet expectations or family drama can kind of sour the Christmas season, and that's difficult. You know, there's a tension that comes with Christmas, right? There's a tension because everybody is talking about the joy and the peace and the celebration and the excitement, and then there's this other side of it where it can be difficult. There can be almost too much expectation put on Christmas, and it can just be difficult to figure out how to walk that tension. And tonight, we're going to talk about the story of Christmas, or a part of the story of Christmas in the Gospel of Luke. And what I want to do is I want to see that wherever we're at as we approach this Christmas season, whether this is a hard time of year for you or an exciting time of year, I hope to show us that the story of Christmas is about God breaking into our story wherever we are at, and inviting us to trust him. So that's the main idea tonight. That's where we're headed. So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we are going to dive in. Luke 1 is a beautiful opening to the life of Jesus. And it starts off with these two parallel stories that are set right next to each other. And they are both, they're the stories of the birth of Jesus and his cousin, John the Baptist. And these two birth stories, they're kind of set right next to each other in Luke 1. And it's a really interesting comparison between these two stories. There's a lot of similarities between the two stories, and there's a lot of differences that are worth noting. But let's just read through these two stories. We'll look at both of them, and then we'll go from there. So Luke 1, we're going to start off in verse 5. This kind of gives us the initial context of the Christmas story. Luke 1, 5 says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." Okay, So there's kind of our opening scene. Let me point out a few important pieces here. So first, the opening words tell us that this story has a historical context. It's in the days of Herod, king of Judea. It's important to realize, you know, Christmas, the Christmas story can be kind of over-familiarized with many of us. You know, we've heard it so many times, and it can almost begin to feel a little bit like a fairy tale. And it's important to realize that the Christmas story has a real historical context. It happened in history. These words tell us that it takes place during this time when Israel was longing for a promised king to come and rescue them from their oppressors, the Roman Empire, and to set them free. So that's the historical context. And next we're introduced to a few people here, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, who are these people? Well, let me draw you a little family tree here. So Zechariah was a priest of Israel, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was related to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. And we're later told that Elizabeth and Mary, they were cousins. And that word might, it might mean first cousins or it might mean fourth cousins. We don't really know. It doesn't really matter too much. We just know that they were related to each other. And we find out later as the story unfolds that they had a good relationship, that they really cared deeply for each other. And as the story unfolds, spoiler alert, Zechariah and Elizabeth, we find out that they will become the parents of John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist and Jesus were then related, and they had a good relationship as well. Now, Mary and Elizabeth, the two mothers here, they were related to each other, but they were very different from one another. Elizabeth was, as the Bible puts it, advanced in years. That's a very polite way of putting it, that she's elderly. She's getting up there. And Mary is much, much younger. She's probably in her teens, is our best guess. And so Elizabeth was more elderly. Mary was much younger. So it's most likely Mary had a relationship with Elizabeth where she really looked up to her. She admired her and learned from her. So that's the family. Now, in these verses about Zechariah and Elizabeth, we learn two crucial facts about them. First, we learn that they were faithful. Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful. Verse 6 says, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And I just think this is so admirable, especially when you consider their age and how long they had lived and how much they had suffered. I mean, they had seen so much take place in the world around them. And yet they were faithful. They were committed to the way of God. They were committed to walking according to His word. And not only had they seen so much happen in the world around them, in the geopolitical scene around them, but they had endured a lot personally. They had endured so much. We read in verse 7 that they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. They were suffering from experiencing unfulfilled longing. In this time period, having no children was a huge blow. Even today, so many people suffer from the pain of infertility, to long so desperately for a child, and month after month, year after year, to experience longing unfulfilled. I mean, that is so difficult. That is so painful. And most of you can't relate to that specifically, but all of us know what it is like to desire something and to have that desire left unsatisfied. I mean, just think about your life for a moment. Maybe even just close your eyes and think for a moment. Think about your life, your situation right now. What are you longing for? What do you desire right now? Maybe it's a relationship or a job offer, or Christmas break, or to be in a different stage of life than you're in right now. Maybe you're longing to get over a sin pattern or a habit in your life and you just can't break through. What do you long for right now? I mean, desire and longing, they're a part of the human experience. They're a part of what it means to be a human being. I mean, we're kind of constantly longing. And anytime we achieve or get what we long for, it's almost as if the finish line moves a little further out and we start longing for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. To be human is to have longing. And Zechariah and Elizabeth felt that. As their story unfolds, we find out that their longing is about to be fulfilled. An angel encounters them. This is absolutely amazing. An angel encounters them and tells them that they will miraculously give birth to a baby who will be John the Baptist. So their longing, after such a long period of time, their desire is about to be satisfied. But that's not always how it works, right? I mean, sometimes our longings never get fulfilled. Or never get fulfilled in the way that we want them to. The story of Christmas, I mean, the whole context of it, the story of Christmas is a story of God meeting us in our unfulfilled longing. It's the story of God stepping into the tension of unsatisfied desire. At times, this means that God brings about fulfillment to desires in His good timing, but at other times, it means that He invites us to trust Him in the midst of our longing. And this, man, this is so difficult. This is so painful. To have desire go unsatisfied, that can be extremely painful. I mean, what do we do when we feel that tension? How do we cope with life when we feel that? We know that longing and desire isn't the problem. I mean, Jesus Himself, while He was here on earth, He experienced desire and longing. So desire's not the problem. It's not that we need to kill our desires off. So how do we navigate the longing? What do we do when we feel stuck in the waiting and in the unfulfillment? How do we respond to that? We can be tempted towards all kinds of different things when we're sitting in that tension. Today, we're so commonly tempted towards numbing out and disconnecting from our desires through distraction. We kill brain cells with our phones, with social media, video games, YouTube, TV. This can escalate to even worse behaviors, like escaping to pornography. All of this can function like an escape from experiencing the pain of longing. We zone out. We check out. We disconnect and distract ourselves from our unsatisfied desires. But none of that actually solves anything. We just find ourselves being more divided within ourselves, hopping in and out of our emotions and our desires. It makes things worse. Another temptation we often face is to wallow in despair. We sink down into the pit of depression and hopelessness. We start to engage in all kinds of negative self-talk about how our life is terrible and how we will never experience what we long for. And this can get very dark. We can sink really deep into this. Others of us can be tempted towards getting angry and bitter. We begin to blame others. We even begin to blame God. We allow bitterness to take root and guide our behavior. And this leads to all kinds of pain and destruction. Bitterness can just corrupt our hearts. I'm curious, which of these do you feel most tempted towards? What do you feel drawn towards when you're sitting in the tension of unsatisfied desires? It's important to name this. It's important to label it out and just say, okay, this is what I think I lean towards when I am sitting in that tension, when I don't have what I want, when life isn't going the way I want it to go. To just name where you gravitate towards. You know, Zechariah, I think if we had to put him in one of these categories, I think he gravitated towards some hopelessness. When the angel spoke to him, he doubted the angel's words. He had an angel standing right there in front of him, telling him, God's going to give you a baby. And he questioned. He said, how can I be sure? You know, what proof are you going to give me? You know, I think this gives evidence that, man, he just had lost some hope. There's no way God can even fulfill this longing in my life. But we also see glimpses in Elizabeth and Zechariah's life of an effort to trust God through prayer. They brought their longing to God. Instead of sinking down into despair or distracting themselves from it or even getting angry, they brought it before God in prayer. Luke 1:13 says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John.'" Zechariah and Elizabeth brought their longing to God in prayer and sought to trust him with its fulfillment. And this is the consistent counsel of Scripture. We can bring our longing before God honestly. And we can lament over being unsatisfied or not having life the way that we desire it to be. We can pray and ask him to fulfill our longings, but not only to fulfill them, but also to sustain us and to help us to trust in him as we sit in the waiting. It's not an easy road, but it is the one that leads to life. Again, the story of Christmas is the story of God meeting us in our unfulfilled longing. Now, this amazing story of Elizabeth and Zechariah and their angelic pregnancy announcement is placed right next to another story, the story of that same angel, Gabriel, coming to Mary and telling her that she will be the mother of Jesus. This is such a famous moment in the Scriptures. Let's look at it together. Luke 1:26 starts off and it says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" These two stories have a lot of similarities. There's a lot of overlap, but they also have a lot of contrasting elements to our previous story. Both stories involve incredible moments of divine intervention. The angel Gabriel coming and speaking to people about something miraculous, a miraculous birth. But there are also some major differences. In the first story, this news was given to an elderly couple who had been longing for a child for years. In the second story, the news came to a young girl who wasn't even married yet. She was betrothed or engaged to a man named Joseph. And in the first story, the couple was longing and praying for a baby. But in Mary's story, she wasn't praying for this at all. She wasn't looking for this to happen at all. In fact, this news would have been extremely disruptive to her life. This would have been life-altering. One is a story of long-awaited fulfillment and satisfaction, and the other is a story of upheaval and disruption. You see, Mary was this young, engaged girl, and she was from a tiny town, the town of Nazareth, on the edge of their society. It'd be equivalent to like a small town in southwest Kansas, you know, with like 500 people in it. I mean, it's just super small, and word travels fast in a community like that. Word gets around, and for Mary to get pregnant before she's even married, I mean, this young Jewish girl, this would have ruined her reputation in this community. I mean, who's going to believe her that an angel came to her and told her that she was going to be miraculously given this baby? I mean, this is a life-altering situation that would have derailed her life. I mean, we even know from another account of this story that Joseph, her fiance, was initially planning to call off the wedding before an angel came to him and spoke to him about the situation. So, I mean, in one sense, this news is incredibly exciting. I mean, the long-awaited, expected, and desired Jesus is coming to our world, but at the same time, this was coming at a great cost or a potential cost to this young girl. Like I said, the story of Christmas is about how God meets us in our unfulfilled longing, but the story of Christmas is also the story of God breaking into our world and disrupting our plans. Following Jesus is like that. At times, our deepest longings are fulfilled. At other times, our plans are completely ruined and our expectations are shattered. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that life will be easy and that you'll get everything that you want all the time. It isn't easy. Sometimes it's extremely hard and it demands a lot from us. It can cost us. This story reminds me a lot about my own family in some ways. I've talked before about how my wife and I, we adopted our oldest son out of foster care. And I can remember vividly the day that we were contacted by the foster care agency asking if we would take this new baby boy into our home. And We were not planning on that. Mostly, our foster license was there. We were just kind of providing respite for other foster families. And we get this phone call. We get contacted, and we're like, oh, are we going to take a baby, like, long-term into our home? Like, we were not prepared for this at all. But as we prayed and sought counsel, we're going to go for this. We're going to take this baby into our home. And this was so sudden. This was so crazy. Suddenly, young Javi is in our home, and we weren't planning to be parents anytime soon. We weren't planning to have kids, and then all of a sudden, we're up in the middle of the night caring for this sweet baby boy. Our life was totally rearranged. I mean, completely different schedule. We had to adjust everything. God's plan for us disrupted everything. And I'm guessing, for some of you, that you have an experience like this where God has thrown a wrench into some of your lives before. Maybe that's even happened this semester at some point. You had expectations and plans for how things were going to be, and things have just unfolded very differently. If it hasn't happened to you yet, just wait. It's coming. And sometimes these disruptions are due to God's leading, like in Mary's situation. Sometimes God redirects our life in some way. And then at other times, disruptions come to our lives from a different source. We live in a broken world. Sin, death, suffering, sickness, these are not part of God's design. But they come and they disrupt our lives. Regardless of the source of the disruption, responding well can be so hard. For Mary, the news of getting pregnant would have changed her whole life. But her focus isn't on the cost and the loss that she's going to experience, but rather on the blessing of God in her life. She entrusts her life to God, and God sees, and she sees how her life, even with her plans disrupted, God's ways are always trustworthy. They're always better. He always leads us towards what is good and right for us. Again, this is what my wife and I discovered when we began to care for our son. Despite the changed plans and the disrupted life, I mean, I cannot imagine my life without my son. He means the world to me. He's changed me forever. God's plan may disrupt what we expect or hope for. It may cost us or even be painful, but his path is always trustworthy. Now, these two stories show how God is deeply involved in our lives and in our stories. He isn't distant or removed. He's involved, just like he was with Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah. That can look different at different times. At times, his leading can mean allowing us to sit for a long time in the tension of unfulfilled longing. At other times, it means he miraculously satisfies us. Still, at other times, his leadership radically disrupts our lives and plans. But I want you to notice something that is crucial in all of this. I want to look at Mary's, at the last verse in this encounter that Mary had with the angel. It's her response that is just so amazing. After everything the angel just said, after all the disruption and all the upheaval, look at her response. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. These words are beautiful. They model for us what the posture of a follower of Jesus looks like. The story of Christmas is about how God meets us in our longing and how he disrupts our plans, but the story of Christmas does something else too. The story of Christmas invites a heart of surrender. These words from Mary exemplify a heart of surrender. A few years ago, December came around, and my wife and I, we were in a really tough season. We had, a couple months before, we had just endured a really tough, tragic loss in our life. And on top of that, our kids at the time, they were not sleeping well for an extended, long period of time. I mean, we were so tired. We were so sleepless, and we were so devastated from the losses that we'd experienced in our life at that moment. And we were low. I just remember I felt so difficult to even just peel myself out of bed on a regular basis. I honestly, if I can just be real, I just didn't really like my life and the way that my life was looking at that time. I was frustrated. And I just remember there was one sleepless night. You know, December was coming around, and so I was like, I don't know, it was middle of the night, and I just decided, you know, I'm gonna open up my Bible to a Christmas story, one of these stories in the Bible about this. And I was looking at this story that we're looking at tonight. And as I read over this story of the angel encountering Mary, Mary's response, it just totally captivated me. I honestly haven't been able to get over it for the past several years. Every Christmas, I revisit this passage and I ponder Mary's response. I've memorized it and I've kind of turned it into a breath prayer for my life. Anytime life feels unsatisfying, anytime I feel frustrated with my circumstances, anytime I feel like I'm being dealt a bad hand, I go back to this. Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Notice this. This response from Mary is so beautiful. Notice this. The first thing that her response does is it reminds us who we are and whose we are. We belong to the Lord. We are His beloved servants, cherished and cared for, deeply loved. He's involved in our stories. He cares for us. He is a good shepherd who cares deeply for his children. And humble surrender to him allows him to lead us where he longs to take us. Only after reminding us who we actually are and who we belong to, then it leads us, this response, it leads us to trust his word and to consent to all that he has in store for us. Christmas is the story of God breaking into our story through the person of Jesus. And this causes disruption and joy all at the same time. So much of the time, you know, around Christmas time, we talk about peace and joy. Those are kind of the buzzwords of Christmas. But what we often miss is that the way to experience joy and peace in this life is through trusting Jesus with our plans, with our life, with our future, and even with the satisfaction of our desires. Trust. Surrender. Christmas reminds us that our story is actually just a part of His story. And that by surrendering to Him, we can be led as Mary was. We can be led into all that He has for us. I mean, Jesus wants to break into your story and He wants you to be involved in all kinds of plans that He has for you, all kinds of things that He has in store for you, but it requires a heart of surrender. As we close tonight, band, you can go ahead and head on up here. I want you to consider your life right now. Maybe you're experiencing unfulfilled longing like Elizabeth and Zechariah. Or perhaps you feel as though your plans are upside down and that God has just dropped a bomb in your life. And you aren't sure how you're going to react. Maybe you're living your life your way and you aren't sure that you even want to trust Jesus' way. Maybe you're here and you're just tired. You're worn out. I mean, this is maybe the most exhausting time of year for students, right? And you're just not sure where to find rest. Well, I want you to hear this. Wherever you are at, God wants to enter your story. And he's inviting you to trust him. Like we said, people talk about the joy and peace of Christmas. Trusting Jesus is the path to that joy and peace. That's Christmas. Jesus enters into our world, our story, and changes everything and invites us to trust his leading, even when we don't fully understand. This can be so difficult. It hasn't been easy for me over the years. Mary's response to the angel is a beautiful example for us to learn how to do this in every season, in every situation, whether it's a time of joy and fulfillment, or a time of longing, or hardship, or upheaval. We're invited to trust God's leading and experience the peace that comes with that trust. And when we can't trust him, or when we feel like we can't trust him, we pray our way into that trust. We lay it all out there before God. We get honest with him. We gotta get low. We gotta lay it all out there before him. We gotta confess our lack of trust before him. We gotta confess the difficulty and the tension. We gotta say, God, here's where I'm at. I'm struggling to even trust you right now. In fact, I don't really want to. A lot of me just wants to take control and try to make life work my way, but I know that's not gonna lead to life. So behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. But God, gosh, I don't know. I don't want to trust. It's hard. So behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Even when it's hard, God, behold, here I am. I want to trust you. Your ways are better. I want to trust you. We pray our way into trust. Lord, I know there's a lot of stories that are in this room right now. I know that people are in all kinds of different places right now. But I also know that regardless of where we are, trusting you and your plans for us and following your lead and leaning in to your guidance, that is always the path you have. I know your ways are better than our ways. You're a good shepherd. I pray that in this room you would invite us, that you would guide us, that you would help us to trust you. Help us to surrender tonight. Help us to respond to the story of Christmas, to the story of you entering into our world with trust.